Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. This is not Scroobius Pip, even though that impression was pretty much bang on. This is 76, producer extraordinaire of not only hot beats, but also of the Hardcore Listing podcast. And I'm doing the intro this week for you because Chris and Stu didn't get round to it. They are super busy. They're mainly super busy bullying Brad. They actually put him in the back of a van recently, took him to Nutbury Field, just around the corner from my house and Stu's house, and I haven't seen him since, which is interesting. Although there was a fire over there a couple of days ago, and it smelt like roast chicken. This week's podcast is We Are Scientists. If you're not familiar, I'm not familiar. They're a rock band, New York City-based rock band, that formed in Berkeley, California in the year 2000. I was excited when I found out about We Are Scientists because it turns out that Keith Murray, one of my favourite rap MCs, is a member, along with guitarist Chris Kane. Imagine my disappointment when I logged onto Wikipedia and it turns out it wasn't Def Squad member and MC extraordinaire Keith Murray. It's just a guy called Keith Murray. However, if you check out Wikipedia, you'll see that there's a little picture of Chris and Keith, and excitingly, Keith is wearing a hoodie with 76 on the front. How exciting is that? So clearly, Keith and I were meant to be. Anyway, on this podcast this week, they will be listing a top five something. No doubt it will be going from 5 through 4, 3, then 2, and ultimately it'll be ending on their number one. I would imagine would be their favourite of the five. 5 being the least favourite, 1 being the most favourite. I think they're actually off on a tour at some point. A tour in Miami, is it, or something? I don't know. Stu was mumbling something about it. But I don't listen to him. I think I've spoken for long enough. Thanks to everybody on the Distraction Pieces Network. And enjoy the show.
It's a drunken soiree in the within.
Chris and Stu present Hardcore Listing, the podcast.
What? You can start. I've started. Yes.
So we are at the Hoxton Square Bar and Kitchen.
Shout out to those guys. Kindly left
to let us beer all day.
Yes.
We've done loads of podcasts today. This is the final one of the day. We saved the best till last, right?
You've been working your way upward.
Working our way up towards the end. Well, when we see this number five, this top five, it's pretty special.
It's decent.
Yes, indeed. We are joined today by Keith and Chris from We Are Scientists.
Yes, you are.
Yes, we are.
Well guessed.
We've literally met about a minute ago. Yous have just come over from Rough Trade, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So what's this, like an in-store and sign-in and stuff like that?
Yeah, our album came out on Friday.
Yep.
So this is just us handling the throng.
We handle the business.
That shows up, yeah.
Yeah, we like to stop by the stores and make sure everything's in order, displayed properly.
Yeah. You kind of hijack shit. And just
yeah, we check the stock, but then while we're back there, we break you know, Janelle Monáe's CDs, so those can't be sold.
We'll scratch them so they have to return them, stuff like that. Just a little bit of sort of innocent mischief.
Yeah.
So kind of a throwback. We're kind of a throwback in that respect to the old days of the record business.
The way Billy Joel used to handle business.
That's how Billy Joel did it. Yeah. We read it in his biography.
Straight up.
He used to go in and scratch Elton John's CDs. And so it's hilarious that they ended up being a big touring act.
Right.
Well, this they end up being a big touring act, which was like kind of them finally burying the hatchet.
Yeah. Reconcile.
We'll have to clarify that. Billy Joel was a big listener to this podcast, so we need to.
I mean, if he calls in, I won't be surprised because I think he's pretty, like, he was a big advocate of his own actions at the time, and I think in retrospect.
Yeah, if over the course of this interview he doesn't call in to correct it, we know that that we've nailed it.
That represents his okay on the material, I would say.
Yeah. His approval of it. That's some guerrilla marketing, isn't it, right there? Scratching. It's not even marketing, is it?
Yeah.
It's just it's very anti-competitive.
Yes.
In the world of music.
Yes. You have to nowadays. There's so little money left in the industry. You have to take extreme means.
Yeah. Well, it's like being in a death race. You need to have a car that has, you know, the blades that screw up other people's tires or have the oil slick
or
a smoke screen. I guess it's just spy hunting is what it really is.
Yeah,
what's the ultimate... I used to like the old death race movies and whatnot. What's the ultimate gadget to have on a death race car?
What definitely the rotating blades on the wheels.
It's pretty good. I mean, I feel like it's that you have to be pretty precise with those, though. Like, it's an elegant weapon, but it's probably the one you'd least want to be responsible for deploying.
Yeah.
Whereas, you know, the thing where you just leave a huge oil slick behind you for all the cars to flip off the highway.
But that one also has the drawback that you are limited to people who are already behind you. So I think the ultimate has to be something that's more omnidirectional.
I like an omnidirectional assault weapon.
What are you talking about?
I mean, in the modern era, it's definitely an EMP.
How do you protect your own vehicle?
I mean, it shoots out, and you've got to have guarded your vehicle against EMPs.
So is your vehicle wrapped in lead and goes at like maybe 1 mile an hour?
That also helps with ramming. Shatter other cars when you ram them with your lead car.
I like an EMP. I'll stick with like some sort of form of like Gatling gun or minigun on my car, popping out of maybe the boot. Yeah, that's what I'd go for. How about yourself, mate?
I just really like...
Oh, yeah, sorry, you said the...
I'm going with that.
We haven't dissuaded you?
No, I grew up watching Grease, and when Danny Zuko, he's just racing that car, and he just goes in and...
tears its
up.
Pieces. Yeah. That's
it's
kind
not
of reliable.
Him, it's the other guy that chews up Grease Lightning, isn't it? He chews up the side first.
It's that high school kid that is like about 43 years old.
Yeah. He looks like one of your dad's mates.
Yeah.
Really angry, that lad, though.
Yeah.
But that your one is reliable.
He had fire that come out the fucking exhaust as well.
Yeah.
But he didn't know about that.
No.
He learned about that later and was pretty alarmed.
That's why I lost.
He issued some apologies.
With the oil slick. Yeah. Just like, I'd be like, yeah, I've just fucked up them cars. And I go home and I go in the morning, I've got like oil over my own drive.
Oh,
that would kind of get me down
a little
bit.
That's the worst.
You know what a really good move is? Having compatriots in a helicopter with a big magnet that comes down and just
picks up the other
lifts
cars.
Your enemies. Yeah.
Pure wacky races.
And sets them down safely.
That's some wacky races shit right
elsewhere.
There,
you know what? Wacky races might not be as wacky as we think. That might just be spelling out the way to live. The only thing that's wacky about them is the dog. Otherwise, pretty straightforward races.
Yeah.
That's true. Yeah.
So shall we...
Before we actually get on to what your five is... Was there any other lists you considered before you went for what you've chosen?
There were several, I think.
Yeah.
What was in the offing?
At one point, we just wanted to talk about the five best animals.
Yeah. Five best animals. We thought about five best forms of transportation, which actually would have dovetailed nicely with the conversation we've just wrapped up. What else did we have?
There was one that was way more esoteric. It was like five states. of being or something like that. Or it was just the five best things. And one of them was like...
Five best things.
You know, being well comported or shit like that.
Yeah, comportment.
Yeah.
I think transportation was one of those, actually.
Transportation was one of the top five things. Oh, yeah. That's what it was. One of our list was just the top five things.
Top five
transportation
things.
Was one of them.
Yeah.
No one's come at us with that, have they yet? We've been doing it a year, and no one's actually hit us up on that.
Yeah.
It's actually a good. It's a good one. You guys really transfixed with the vehicles as well. That was something you were keen on.
They dominate modern life. I mean, if you think about what's mainly different between now and the past, it's vehicles.
Yeah, I mean, animals have been pretty consistent throughout.
Yes, you're right.
Yeah. What just out of interest, what would have been a couple in your top five animals?
Top five animals?
No. Yeah.
Well, the eagle, but not the English language eagle, the German eagle, which we later learned as a hedgehog. Not as good, but the German hedgehog, the eagle.
The German hedgehog. They
top, definitely top five.
I-G-E-L. And we were just so enchanted with that way of describing sonically that animal. Ego.
It's an ego.
For a hedgehog. Eagle. Isn't that fucking magic?
That's
a German word for a hedgehog.
It took me 30 seconds to figure out, is it an eagle or a hedgehog?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, wow. Exactly.
I always thought
it's magnificent.
If you hear German eagle, I always think of that kind of eagle-looking one in the Muppets, like the blue one.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
He looks like a kind of angry German eagle.
Yeah. Well, that's the fun thing, is that an eagle is like a pretty, kind of intimidating and badass creature. And the hedgehog is such an other type of creature.
So. Yeah, and you would think that an eagle in a German accent would be even more intimidating. Yeah. Less so.
Less so.
You'd be wrong.
Yeah. So do you know what historically, the Romani type traveling communities, what they do with hedgehogs.
I'm not going to like this.
Apparently, this is what was. I mean,
keep in mind, we're pretty sensitive. So.
Used to roll them in mud, and then bake them.
But they were okay, right? They were okay.
They're fine. Yeah.
Then they come out stronger.
Yeah.
That's great. When I said, you went, tasty to you.
Was it kind of.
You had a steak like that in Colombia.
Jacket potato.
At Andres Carne, you had, I think, what was their approximation of an ego.
Yeah.
A mud eagle.
A cooked hedgehog. Yeah, an earth hedgehog. An earthen hedgehog.
Of eagle.
Yeah, it had like a huge salty crust on it. It was about a quarter inch deep. And then you got to the beef.
Yeah.
Delicious. But I don't mind it with a cow, but with a hedgehog. I mean, those are one of our greatest allies.
I don't sometimes fish with too many bones is hard work, but that sounds like an absolute nightmare.
I think the baked mud removes the spikes.
Right.
What? Is that right?
Mm.
Wow.
Well, yeah, because I also imagine that cooking it loosens the spikes' grip.
Yeah.
So the mud hardens around it. The body softens, within it.
Tender hedgehog.
Yeah. Tender hedgehog. This is a strange cookery podcast we're now doing. How do you like your hedgehog?
A little bit of lemon.
Did you guys, so with any of those and with your top five, which we haven't yet announced, did you find a chord? Did you reach an accord quite quickly? Were you guys like, yeah, no, I can give it? Was there any that one of you would throw out and the other one was like, no, you fool?
Mm. No, we're pretty excitable in general. So
yeah. I think we tend to form lists like this in the following manner. We decide on the subject, and then as quickly as the spots can be filled, we're both really excited when one of us realizes this has got to be number three or whatever. And then it's really just very positive. It's like, yes, yes, yes.
Right.
And as soon as
it's almost a relief.
As soon as they're out there, yeah. It's kind of like itches that need to be scratched. So whoever scratches them first, like all the better, all the better.
Well, question's gone.
Think about this.
Absolutely. Yeah.
You don't want to step wrong here.
What? Nope. Nothing.
Because he will roll you in mud and bake
me.
Right, so should we get on to what you've chosen for your five?
If you guys want,
we're ready. So, Keith and Chris, what is your five?
It's top five fictional crime fighters.
Okay.
Ah, the questions come back. Right. When you do your list, do you ever bring in rules? So is there any any restraints to how you
That's a good question.
Like, so, okay, well, we're not going to include these in this. Because we found the more and more lists we do, we find out that actually you can disappear down a bloody rabbit hole of breaking that into different categories in itself.
Yeah, for example, on this one, we ended up sort of imposing the rule that we were only going to do individuals, so personalities. Okay. Because we have a couple that ended up as sort of runners up, and we'll mention them, who are groups of people.
Right.
Okay.
And that just it ended up feeling like those were kind of detracting from the purity of the list.
Too much of a team effort.
Yeah.
There.
Exactly.
You're thinking of like intellectual powerhouses.
Mavericks.
Like, yeah. Okay.
We also
we're not interested in organizations right now.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
But I mean, you get your honorable mentions at the end, so we can go through them.
Exactly.
As well.
Exactly. Oh, sure. We also started this list as top five crime fighters, not fictional, but just crime fighters. And we were kind of mixing real and fictional crime fighters. And then we just realized that there was an advantage that fictional crime fighters had over reality that kind of made it very difficult to compete for real crime fighters. So then we expunged all the real crime fighters.
Correct. I mean, correct.
Correctly. I mean, they really couldn't hold a candle.
Yeah. The only reason we added the fictional adjective in there was that, you know, we didn't want to hurt too many real life crime fighters' feelings.
That's right.
But they can't stand up against this gang.
These heavyweights.
Yeah.
No.
So,
yeah.
If the audience hasn't already figured out, it's top five fictional crime fighters. Mm-hmm. Shall we dive straight in with number five?
Number five.
What you got?
It's Jason Voorhees.
Okay.
Of the Friday the 13th series.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sure. So, yeah. Jason.
Most people know him just as Jason.
Jason,
Yeah. But
his hockey mask wearing.
That's right.
Nuts job with a machete.
Yeah. Often considered a maniac.
Yeah.
I'd say psychopath, yeah.
He's a vigilante at worst.
This is what a lot of people don't realize is that Jason is pretty methodical about who he takes down.
There is a code to it, for the most part. I mean, you know, like any cop, he sometimes makes a mistake.
He slips up, yeah.
Yeah.
You give anybody a giant machete and set them on kill, they're going to make some mistakes.
Yeah, I defy you to find any justice system that's 100% precise. Sure.
They don't exist.
So, do you want to explain how Jason is fighting crime?
Well, it's crime, and this is why he was relegated to such a low position on our list. Because
everyone's thinking, why is he not number one?
It's crime because his efficiency and his enthusiasm are 10 out of 10.
He delivers.
He's 100%.
You'd be thrilled to have any cop as dedicated to his job as Jason is.
Absolutely. His concern for his own bodily function is minimal.
Takes very few vacations, as far as we can tell.
Absolutely. Yeah. But the problem with Jason is that his code is pretty dated.
Okay.
It's
puritanical.
It's puritanical. It's like old Bible. Like he...
Wait, it's actually, it's parental. Is a little bit what it is.
Yeah.
It's, you know, sex, premarital sex.
Fornication.
Actually, I wonder if he's ever killed a married couple.
For having sex?
Yeah.
It's possible because
not in the purview of the films.
Well, I mean, maybe because he didn't know that they were married.
He didn't see a ring or a certificate.
And he wanted to be on the safe side.
Yeah.
When did the first one come out? When was the first?
Well, don't worry about the first one. He's not in the first one.
Yeah, that's true. He shows
Mrs. Voorhees, his mom.
Yeah.
Sets the code in the first one.
Yeah.
He shows up. Is it Camp Blood? Is that where it is?
No, Crystal Lake.
That's
right. Yeah.
I feel like he's 1981, maybe, is Jason Voorhees.
Because when you say about couples in any kind of film, like horror or kind of cop films and stuff like that, there always had to be, from about 78 to 83, one scene where someone comes from your door and there's a couple in bed. The woman generally has no top on and will kind of go up on her knees in the bed and scream, and then generally get shot. There had to be a token set of breasts in every kind of film of that genre at that point.
Crowbar, yeah. Some press in there.
That should
had to be in every Death Wish film.
Yeah. I think that's how you earn an R rating.
I think, yeah.
Shoot a topless woman.
Just in case you weren't going to get one.
Yeah.
Come on. Exactly. Take the bra off.
And shoot her dead.
Yeah. Checklist point.
Yeah.
On the classification board.
Oh, brilliant. Yep.
It's not coming. It's not happening. There it is. Okay. So.
But Jason, yeah.
Fornication, drugs, you know, general like petty malfeasance.
Yeah, it's like it's an older sense of crime that has more to do with honor and self-restraint.
It's sort of it's a tisk-tisk delivery.
And it's,
but like through your thorax.
Yeah. And it's grown a little bit musty. Like we don't, a lot of us probably wouldn't really agree with Jason's decisions nowadays. But not.
Nowadays.
But not because.
Back in the 70s, everyone was like, that's totally fine.
Bravo!
Yeah. Like, especially like the, 1470s. It was like super on point when Catholicism reigned. But his efficiency.
Yeah, what kind of name is Voorhees?
Voorhees sounds pretty old school. It sounds Dutch to me.
Yeah.
So he could be.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, he's probably a Dutch Protestant.
Brilliant.
If I were guessing.
I would have never. As soon as I saw that, I was like, I can't wait for your guys' explanation as how he's made the top five crime fighters. But
That's why he's only number five.
You put a great case forward for him.
Yeah. Here's an important point in his favor that I think really justifies his inclusion in the top five. If you've seen Jason X. In which we see him 500 years in the future, still banging on with his
dogged set
of morals, still killing in the name of propriety.
How many tirelessly. Law enforcement professionals pursue a cold case for 500 years.
500 years. Yeah.
Generally, one of the perks of being in the police is an early retirement.
Yeah, absolutely.
Of course.
You get that gold watch.
Yeah, exactly.
Jason doesn't have that much. He probably can't tell time.
Yeah. Time clearly is of no interest to him as well.
When he does retire, what handshake he's going to get, though? I don't know who he's going to get it from. Yeah.
He will.
Satan, I imagine.
He'll sit at Satan's right hand.
It's actually, it feels a little unjust that, unlike some of the other vigilantes, not to spoil anything on our list, he never gets any love from the police force.
That's true.
Nobody ever. We never cut to a couple cops being like, you know what? They were only 17, porking in the in the outhouse.
Bushes.
Yeah. Porking in the canteen.
Yeah. Hey, Jason, get out of here before the chief shows up. I'll have to arrest you. Go on. Me and the fellas are all with you. Yeah, you never see that. But undoubtedly, that's
a conversation.
That's
got to
be the sentiment down at the station house. It's got to be.
Down at Crystal Lake County PD.
Absolutely.
The Sheriff's Department.
Yeah, he's doing their work. He's doing their job.
You guys fan of slashers then, in general? Or you just got a special affinity?
We like them all.
Jason. So when I said Camp Blood, you guys were like, motherfucker.
You dum-dum.
You dumb motherfucker. What's Camp Blood from?
I don't know.
Yeah.
It's one of them.
I don't know.
The young lady that come on before you's done top five death scenes from Final Destination franchise.
Ooh, that's a good one. That's a good one.
Oh, boy.
Wow.
Now we've got something to listen to.
We talk about the Final Destination films, every couple days, I would say, for years. Mm. Yeah, we're very, very interested. But let's not step on their podcast.
No, let's not do it.
Yeah, we'll discuss this afterward.
Okay, right. Number four.
Was Ace Ventura, I believe.
It was.
Yep.
Yeah.
Mr. Ace Ventura.
Correct.
The pet detective.
The one
now,
and the same.
This seems like a bit of a, step away from like a serious criminal catcher. But actually, Ace is pretty up for anything. I think that the thing about Ace Ventura that makes him seem like a lightweight is that his primary concern is with animal rights. Not to say his sole concern, but...
Well, But what makes him a great crime fighter is that he's willing to chase the clues where they lead, and often they lead to
human
national or, you know, in fact, international concerns.
Yeah, absolutely. Not to spoil the movie.
What's the second one called? Call of Dem Wilds?
Yeah, the wild has
nature,
called.
When nature calls.
Nature calls. Yeah. But I think he's often undervalued by crime-fighting estimators because he is, you know, his focus is on injustice done to the critters.
Yeah, it's like when pastry chefs are sneered at by, you know, legitimate foodie chefs.
Right.
But you know, who doesn't love an animal?
And if you rank him on the sort of objective criteria, the efficiency, the dedication.
Efficiency might be a stumbling block for Ace Ventura.
Well, it's not, I'm not going to give him a 10 out of 10 on efficiency. But dedication, he gets
dedication,
a 10 out of 10.
Yeah.
That, you know, this is how you start to form a picture of a top five crime fighter.
He's a super sleuth. He nails his investigations pretty much every time. Like even in the first one where he's talking about how the person hadn't committed suicide from throwing themselves off the floor.
That's right.
And he does it. He explains that conclusion in the most elaborate of ways, with the use of some double glazing, I believe.
You can see his passion. Like
he
brings so much unnecessary passion to his investigations.
Exactly.
You know, I mean, you watch his friend on the force in the first movie.
It's Tone Lock, isn't
Tone Lock.
It?
Yeah. And like he's cool, and his heart's in the right place, but he can't really summon the energy to follow Ace where he goes, except to sort of show up and be like, Ace, you did it again.
You did it again.
You nailed it.
He probably doesn't want to go. Yeah, Ace was dedicated. There wasn't. I mean, when he met Snowflake as well.
Oh yeah, I mean, he speaks to Snowflake in Snowflake's own tongue, which is, you know, no one else is able to do that.
Oh man, I actually did. You guys, I mean, you've put him in there. Does that mean you watched that quite a lot when it came out? Did you ever reach cult status for you guys, or
big time?
Oh man.
I grew up in Miami, Florida. So his aid to the Dolphins is legendary. Still is legendary.
Yeah.
It's one of my favorites of that era. I haven't seen it for a while, but that was worn thin.
I watched it recently, and I can tell you two things.
Okay.
First of all, until very recently, it was fairly difficult to watch. Like, it wasn't on any streaming service, and
not emotionally difficult.
Yeah, No, I don't mean this in a personal sense.
You knew what
sense.
Was coming.
Yeah, the obstacles were for everyone. You couldn't rent it on iTunes. You couldn't rent it on Amazon. Right. Like, you couldn't pay to watch this movie. And so I got to the point, because I wanted to show, I have a 12-year-old son. Right. And I got to the point about a year and a half ago where I was like, he has to see Ace Ventura. There's just nothing. Like, this is one of these movies. I was kind of going through, like, Adam Sandler movies and stuff like that. And we reached this point where I said, man, I'm derelict as a parent. I need to show him Ace Ventura. And we couldn't buy it used on the internet.
You wanted to give your son a sense of right and wrong.
Exactly. I wanted him to grow up with a moral compass. But the good news is this. As of about 6 months ago, it's on all kinds of streaming services. I think the gods were listening. And I watched it with my 12-year-old son, and it's fantastic.
It still is.
Now
he's walking the straight and narrow.
It's great. And my kid has never been more, you know, straight-backed and clear-eyed. Yeah, he's a model citizen.
He wants to become a detective. No.
That's
right.
Have
you guys watched, speaking of Carey and the streaming service, the Man on the Moon thing?
Oh, no.
No, the documentary?
Yeah.
No, I can't bring myself to.
That's worth a look.
Really?
I don't want to undermine, frankly, my appreciation for Ace Ventura. I've heard it's not. It's an unpleasant watch.
But it's.
Is it?
Yeah. I don't know. I thought it's fascinating.
Yeah.
And I love Jim Carrey. You know.
Yeah.
And
you come away respecting the method.
I guess so. Mm. The method, the execution of it sometimes is detrimental to other people. There.
He was like in character the whole
time.
Yeah. Like the idea.
Yeah. He's doing. Kaufman, then that's exactly the same with him. You know, what was you just don't know. And, right. And I guess it's hard to explain the whole thing. I'd give it a look. Okay. It's fun.
Yeah.
Cool. And it's interesting, a little dark. But yeah, the commitment to it's pretty incredible.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd definitely suggest that's a watch.
Have you got a top five Jim Carrey movies? What would be in there? Obviously Ace Ventura.
Yeah, number
just
one.
For me, it would be Ace Ventura. Probably might be number one for me.
So I guess you haven't seen Mr. Popper's Penguins.
Nope.
Because that's number one. Just kidding, that's number two.
What's the most... what is that, like an animation that he's done or
it
something?
Does feature animated penguins.
Okay.
It's got Carly Cugino and a bunch of kids. Nope. And some animated penguins. And it's really good, guys.
Is it good, really?
Now, this is latter-day Carrey, right. But yeah, he's actually... He's kind of operating without the pressure of stardom. Sure. And is almost more compelling than he has ever been.
Wow.
Now, I'm exaggerating only a little bit. It really is a very winning movie. Like I think Yes Man was worse. I think
Well, of course Yes Man was worse.
No, but I mean there are some
Yes Man's a
there are some latter day movies that are pretty bad comparatively. Like I think The Mask is worse.
I put
Popper's
bad.
Penguins above The Mask.
Whereas
Liar,
I loved
Liar
The Mask when it came out, but yeah, it feels like now
it was revolutionary, but now yeah, it's now yeah. everybody's doing The Mask.
Yeah, yeah.
I think for me it's Ace Ventura, Liar Liar, Popper's Penguins,
Nature
Calls.
Yeah, where's Eternal Sunshine?
Eternal Sunshine is number five because
damn.
Because it's not
behind
really
Nature Calls, huh?
Well, that's not Jim Carrey doing Jim Carrey.
He was doing it for a paycheck.
Dumb and Dumber. Dumb and Dumber. Tough one. I mean, it is a bit of a joint with Jeff, but yeah. he's still amazing in that as well, isn't he?
That is a really good one. I mean, I think it's a strong six. Mm. It's a strong number six.
All right. So, should we move on to number three?
Let's do it. Let's see number three.
Okay. This is Clarice Starling.
Oh, Clarice.
Yeah. She dealt with some of the
cadet
sickest,
agent Clarice
some
Starling.
Of the sickest motherfuckers. She had to look eye to eye with them.
She had a lot less fun than Ace Ventura.
I think
solving her crimes.
But that's why she's higher in the ratings. Is Ace Ventura, you know, he enjoyed his job. Mm-hmm. It's easy for him to keep going.
Jason enjoyed his job.
A blast.
Mm. Yes.
Clarice Starling, it's a living hell.
Yeah. It's a bit of a grind.
Yeah. Clarice wins this this award from us for a now she didn't bag as many criminals as anyone else on this list. We're acutely aware of that, and that's where a lot of criticism is going to come in.
it's going to come flying in via Twitter, mail. Yeah,
exactly. But she has a quality that no one else on the list exhibits, actually, which is that toward the end of her narrative, as we know it, you know, as readers, viewers, she is actually willing to consider her moral universe and take a giant left turn based on essentially a new understanding of the world. And she strikes out on a radical new vector that probably she, you know, even a year before would have considered to be criminal. But she does it because she believes it, and because she's willing to let her sort of mind and heart point her in a new direction, and that's rare for a crime fighter.
This is your romance with Hannibal Lecter.
Yeah,
spoilers
obviously, but she ends up with Hannibal Lecter, who is I don't think qualifies as a crime fighter.
I mean, well, this was actually a conversation we had because I'm dubious on the. How laudatory we should be with Clarice's move.
For Clarice,
But I consider Lecter himself a pretty, you know, he's doing it for his own reasons. He's in his cell sketching, you know, fantasy islands in Florence.
Yeah.
So look, he's helping catch criminals just to pass the time. And to, you know, to smell Clarice's perfume.
He has a Voorheesian sort of selection process as well. Like, he tends to kill you know, fairly disgusting people.
Yeah.
But yeah. Here would be my qualm with considering him a sterling crime fighter. He draws too much perverse enjoyment from it. I just don't like that as a quality.
You never get the sense. You never get the sense for he's enjoys it.
Yeah, he definitely seems like he's an addict.
He's dutiful.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, Lecter, like, he enjoys the kills the way he enjoys the fine food and the poetry. And so
eating
forth.
The kills. Yeah, exactly. Off them.
It's elegant.
Yeah.
That's some next level.
Do you think you could rationalize with Lecter, or do you think like his mind's made up? You're done.
Well, I mean, I believe that if you had a valuable argument to make, he would hear it out. I think it would just be hard for you to present a notion that he hadn't considered.
Mm. Yeah, totally. It'd be dangerous to ever speak to him as well. Before you know it, you'd either end up on his table or eating someone yourself.
But we're getting off track. This isn't about Lecter.
Let's give Starling her due. How often has Clarice Starling's career been overshadowed? By talk of Lecter.
Yeah.
Well, every time.
But then often, in any form of writing a storyteller, the hero or heroine is only as good as the villain.
That is true.
So, you know, if he wasn't as epically evil, maybe Clarice wouldn't have worked her way maybe onto your list.
That's true. She
wouldn't even been made an agent if he weren't so dastardous.
Yeah, and if she didn't somehow have the key to extracting information from him.
I think she's got a unique quality as well, insofar as, I don't know if you're aware of this, she's got a very powerful run.
As demonstrated in the opening credits of Silence of the Lambs?
Yeah,
is that
the obstacle
mean?
Course.
And Panic Room.
Oh, right. Oh.
That's not Clarice Starling. That's Jenny
Foster.
McPherson, or whatever her name is.
Yeah.
No, I don't know what that character's name is. I mean, it's Jodie Foster.
It's Jodie Foster. Right. Yeah.
Not the same universe, though.
You're confusing yourself here.
Solid run.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like a powerful run.
Yeah.
Sure.
That's a good quality of having a police officer.
Yeah. I can't remember. Does she do much running in Silence of the Lambs? I mean, she does run about, but I'm not.
Not really. Her most notable, like, locomotion is in the night vision scene where she's fumbling about.
Oh, yeah.
You know, with her hands extended and she's utterly blind.
Stakes are high in that scene.
Yeah. Stakes couldn't be higher.
Couldn't be higher.
Yeah, she's so brave in that scene.
I mean, unless you're Jack Ryan. Yeah, he's
not even in the running. That old turncoat.
For me, the
that's right. That's right. He's a traitor to his country. I don't want to spoil upcoming Jack Ryan material, but
for me, and now this is based purely on cinema.
Yeah,
I don't remember how well this is spelled out in the novel *Sense of the Lambs*, but the old your space storage revelation when Hannibal Lecter tells her to look within yourself, and she realizes that he means your self-storage in Baltimore, Maryland, and finds Hester Moffat's storage space.
Yeah.
That's a fucking great investigative lead.
Yep.
None of us would have gotten there.
No.
That's why she's number three.
Yeah. Nice. You got you. Yeah. Should we move on to number two?
Let's do it.
Life is full of awesome what ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role. Like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more
and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
I just one-upped our beers. Number two is a familiar face. Or should I say mask? This is Batman.
Yeah.
Good shout. Good shout. I think that you won't have floods of complaints.
This is like an obvious one. It's kind of an anchor.
Yep.
Batman's...
I mean, it's still slightly controversial. He does operate outside the law.
Yes. Vigilantism, I think, is pretty common.
He's
on this
made
list,
a criminal of the, you know, commissioner.
Yeah.
But here's what you realize when you form a list of crime fighters is that fighting crime, if it's done with any great passion, often results in sort of moving outside the lines of legality because you're unwilling to brook the, you know, molasses-like speed of the system.
Yeah, you'll notice there's no legally sanctified officer of the law in our...
No.
In our top five. I didn't even realize that until just now.
No, yeah, because...
And that's no way to fight crime.
If you come... I mean, I think if you're willing to you know, let yourself operate in those strictures, like, you can't actually be as passionate as this list demands. You're not fit for this... The self-sacrifice that you're seeing from some of these people, all of them, actually...
Yeah.
Is
Yeah, they all suffered... greatly.
Yeah, that sets you above anybody who's just going to go by the rules.
Yeah, you just can't get shit done, can you?
The ones that go by the rules, they would have been in the other list before you went fictional, right?
Exactly. I mean, that's right. Are there any examples of real-life crime fighters who, like, ended up in Guantanamo because they just just went too fucking far in their pursuit of justice? All right, there's got to be, right?
Yeah.
There's
got to be. Yeah, but they probably keep them more under wraps and don't celebrate much when they're top, when the
exactly,
top cop
yeah.
goes south.
They're all the people who get retired.
Yeah,
like they get killed.
It's haunting that all of the real world's Ace Venturas are in a, you know,
shallow
subterranean
grave.
Cell right now.
Yeah, yeah. Or a shallow grave. No, we were thinking about like Elliot Ness and people like that.
Sure.
There are some great crime fighters. We were also thinking of like judges.
Yeah.
You know, like Sandra Day O'Connor and stuff, like people who had tried
in there for
momentous cases and very bravely sort of come down against societal opinion.
But they never threw a batarang into a man's neck.
No.
That's one thing I hate about Sandra Day O'Connor.
That's my eternal gripe with her.
Yeah.
And I send letters constantly.
Okay, so why Batman?
Well, Batman's, again, I mean, the dedication is incredible. The, like, willingness to suffer injury of both his body and his spirit.
And the fact of the matter is he has such, you know, his other option, which is to just be a billionaire playboy.
That's right.
Pretty appealing.
It's very attractive.
Very attractive. Yeah. If I had the choice, I would just do that, and I'd let criminals run rampant.
Yeah.
I just build a gate.
Ace Ventura
around
would,
Wayne Manor.
Ace Ventura would be a veterinary doctor if he.
Yeah, you'll notice Ace Ventura lives
like
in squalor.
His other option is not great.
Yeah, let's be honest. He does have to be a pet detective. That's how he pays his bills.
He scrapes it together, doesn't he?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Bruce Wayne. You know, he's got jacuzzis aplenty.
Yeah.
He has a tattoo that says that if you read as you know, as deeply as I do.
I don't like that.
For sure. He has every excuse.
He got
not
it
to have
before he became the Batman.
Yeah. Okay, fair enough.
Yeah, he's got every excuse not to have to worry about that sort of stuff, doesn't he? Yeah. I mean, but he's driven by that moment in his childhood that he's never going to.
I don't know.
Sort
I feel like
go.
That's oversold. I feel like that's oversold.
Yeah, 'cause a lot of people have that, don't they?
Yeah, I'm not trying to undermine anyone who's experienced such tragedy and not gone on to become a vigilante, but that's fine. You know, a lot of people move on from that, and I think we have no reason to believe that Bruce Wayne, with probably many great psychologists at his beck and call, has probably gotten past that. He may use that as an excuse to, you know, break thugs' knees and stuff, but...
Yeah. I mean, I think he uses it as fuel.
Do you reckon they've ever addressed that? Do you reckon anyone's ever tried that in the comics, to portray it like that?
To actually
to say,
him?
Like, you know, it's actually... That's been and gone, and now it's an obsession, and it really... His parents' death isn't any the source of it.
Yeah,
still.
I think he just likes justice.
He loves it. What are you talking about?
Sorry, I'm,
he goes nuts for justice.
Yeah, he's crazy for justice.
Do you guys ever read the comics, or are you film-based?
I read them in a scattered way as a kid.
Yeah, I've read some of the the graphic novels.
Well, they kept reinventing them when I was a kid. Like, I grew up kind of when graphic novels were coming into vogue. And so those, for some reason, involved, like, starting from scratch every time so that you would get all these Frank Miller reimaginations of Batman, like, every
like
2 years.
Like that.
Right. So I feel like I know, you know, many different shades of Batman.
I've never read it, like, religiously. I've read a lot of the major ones and stuff like that, and the movies.
Yeah.
I don't think you could ever do a fictional crime fighting. If you ever said that to anyone, I think Batman would get said by everyone. I think there's not one who's really anyone more synonymous with crime fighting than the Caped Crusader.
Yeah.
Top five Batman bad guys would be good.
Mm. Oh yeah. Yeah.
But then my brain straight away goes to West era.
Really?
Yeah.
In the campy version?
Yeah,
which is brilliant. It's just amazing. Have you seen the original Batman movie with Adam West and Burt Ward?
I think so, yeah.
I think
as a kid I saw it. I think my dad brought it home one day on VHS.
That is the only shark spray, isn't it?
Yeah.
In that movie.
Oh, yeah.
So good.
Yeah. Anti-shark spray.
So
yeah.
good.
Good call.
Good for the kid. You can watch that with the kids when you're not...
Absolutely.
You know, when you're sick of... what's Jim Carrey ones? Something Penguins.
Mr. Popper's Penguins.
Sorry.
Yeah. No anti-shark spray in that.
Right, where should we go now?
Top spot, mate.
You sure you're ready?
Yeah, we're ready.
Strap him.
this is Jack Reacher.
Yeah, one of the... Probably not just the greatest crime fighter, but probably one of the greatest people. Greatest fictional or otherwise.
Okay, one of the greatest fictional people.
Yeah.
Fictional not.
Yeah, because he doesn't bear the weight of having to support 24 hours of life every day. But for a man whose life we only get to see in windows, it's hard to beat this guy.
He's nailing it.
It's hard to beat this guy. So, do you guys, Jack Reacher is the he's the creation of a writer named Lee Child. There have been 22 books, something like that. I think the 23rd is the one coming, or it's the one that just came. He releases one every year. And Lee Child has only written about Jack Reacher, as far as we know, as Lee Child, anyway. And we're really passionate about these books.
Yeah.
Because Lee Child writes one hell of a crime fighter. I mean... Jack Reacher is amazing. So here's the basics. He's 6'5". He's 250 pounds. He was a military policeman until something like 1997 or 1999 in the fictional universe when he quit the U.S. Army. Sorry, I should have specified U.S. Army. And since then, he's been a wanderer who sort of stumbles into adventures like a knight errant or a ronin this is very... classical conception of a hero.
He doesn't want this at all.
He's a wandering hero, yeah.
He's a little like Jason in that his pursuit of justice is purely his own.
It's haphazard as well. Like he just bumps it. He's not actually out there trying to like keep his territory policed. He's just stumbling along, and wherever he encounters injustice, he writes it.
In fact, Jason is incredibly fortunate compared to Jack Reacher because Jason just hangs out at Camp Crystal Lake and shit just keeps on going wrong.
Yeah, it's a shit magnet, isn't it?
Discipline just needs to occur at Camp Crystal Lake over and over.
Yeah.
Jack Reacher, you know, is has no home.
Yeah, he has no home.
Yeah.
Now, unlike
peripatetic,
unlike Jason and you know, I would say amongst these crime fighters, Jack Reacher's at the top of the progressiveness in terms of his moral code. Like he's super. Most of us would agree with Jack Reacher's moral decisions. We wouldn't always agree with the violence with which he enforces them. He's a very absolute sort of, you know, naysayer when it comes to wrongdoing,
yeah, sure.
Especially extreme wrongdoing. He doesn't really care about minor stuff. But.
I would disagree.
Well, okay, so example. Let me throw an example that harkens back to one of your favorite crime fighters who didn't make the list, Hannibal Lecter.
Yeah.
Hannibal Lecter... In, I forget where in Italy he is, but somebody tries to pick his pocket, and Hannibal Lecter slices the guy's abdomen open, thus killing him.
Well, he does that as a means to an end, though.
That's true. He doesn't know that the guy... He has no idea
who
the guy
does.
Is.
No, he does. Yes, he does. That's what makes Hannibal Lecter such a genius.
He knows that the guy's picking his pocket because he was hired by the other guy?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Well, then Hannibal Lecter is number six on the list. But look, Jack Reacher would not have injured that guy. He might have, like, wrapped his knuckles or something.
He would have crushed his hand.
He would have crushed his hand.
Yeah, broken wrist the most.
But, okay... Jack Reacher almost always uncovers, you know, plots that demand writing.
Yes.
By breaking the hands and legs and arms of people who have committed, you know, relatively petty offenses.
Yeah. Well, he also only deals he only deals that way with people who deal with others in that manner. he would never like break a bookkeeper's knees just because they were dealing dirty books.
They missed a decimal.
Yeah. Exactly. But so he through the course of these 22 books, he deals in plots, you know, minor and major, both world threatening and only household threatening, with equal sort of rigor and. unstinting commitment.
Well, has he ever encountered a household issue, which is how many of them begin, without it becoming at least a countywide issue?
No.
So that's what makes him number one, is that he has the ability to sniff out an incredibly petty offense. Like, you know, domestic battery, which obviously is awful.
I don't consider that petty.
But I just mean localized.
Right.
And he always knows that it's going to unfold into.
He doesn't know, but that's, you know.
Well, I just mean he innately knows.
But let me just propose this, that his. Adventures are chronicled with a focus on the ones that are most broadly of interest.
I believe that, but I don't think he has enough time in his life.
No, he definitely does. He's definitely doing. So he was born in 1960. He mustered out of the army in the late 90s.
Yeah.
He's been essentially a wanderer for about 20 years, and we've had 20 adventures out of him because there are three that predate his retirement. So we're only seeing about a week out of each year. You think he's just placidly drinking coffee the rest of the year?
No, I bet he's punching, you know, pretty minor
he's
offenders.
He's settling domestic disputes all year long. He definitely is.
Lee's only writing about the big ones.
Yeah, yeah.
Not that guy dodging that parking
ticket.
Yeah,
he's letting us know about the stuff that affects us as global citizens.
Now, you know, this doesn't appreciate Jack Reacher in my estimation very much, but I do agree that it is impressive that his resolution never takes more than... 3 days, 4 days?
Yeah, efficiency.
God, he's fast. He works fast.
Yeah. He's very fast, but he works outside the strictures of the law.
That's right. He can dodge all that red tape.
Yeah.
He always has a law enforcement official on it.
Who comes to admire him.
Like, giving him the nod. Yeah. Giving him the nod.
He always, like, butts head initially with an FBI agent or a DEA agent or somebody, Secret Service, who are, you know, they kind of say, what the hell are you doing here? You need to stay in your motel room. And then, of course, he disobeys, and they threaten him with arrest,
And 100 pages later, they're like, Jack, it's up to you now.
you rogue bastard.
Yeah.
So yeah. That's basically, Jack, there's always a tone lock hanging about.
Yes.
So, yeah. So,
and I honestly don't believe that there's any level or, you know, division of law enforcement that hasn't ceded authority to Jack Reacher.
Yeah.
From, you know, from dog catcher to, you know, general of the U.S. Army.
Yeah.
They've all said, Jack, it's up to you.
Yeah.
At some point.
Actually, in the novel Personal, the President of the United States.
There you go. From tells dog catcher he has full to the authority U.S. To President
whatever he needs
Donald
to do
Trump.
In London.
Yeah.
He's told you he can do whatever he needs to do in London.
Not quite his jurisdiction, but all right.
Yeah.
Because I think Jack is it's more prevalent in the US, isn't it, the novels. I think a lot of us in the UK heard of him through the movies.
Although British author.
Yeah, Lee Child is British. He worked for Granada Television.
Really?
And he
no
was
way.
He was
what was the show
must-
he worked for?
Oh, yeah.
Daniel and Piecemeal. Yeah.
Oh, Make the- Peace. Somebody in Make Peace.
Dempsey and Make Peace.
Yep. Yeah. There was
an American actor in that.
He was a producer on Dempsey and Make Peace.
The main actor in that was an American actor called Michael Glacier. And her name was, Glynis Barber.
Apparently they are married, we heard.
Yeah.
These are the rumors.
She was American. Make Peace was Glynis Barber. She was American. And he was, I'm not sure.
I have not got a clue.
Yeah,
you're
before your
me
time,
for confirmation,
yeah. It was kind of my childhood, yeah.
Worth checking out, though, for sure.
Great
anyway,
theme tune.
Yeah, so he was I think, a producer. Not a writer, but a producer at Granada Television. He worked on that and maybe a couple other things. And he got downsized. And he decided to start the Jack Reacher series as a, you know, way to pay the rent.
So it's time for you to embrace your countrymen.
Yeah. Wow. But now, this should be said. I think that the Jack Reacher books are consistently number one on the UK charts. So you
really?
Guys,
this has gone well over my head.
Yeah, yeah.
They're definitely always prevalent at airport stalls.
Right.
In the
yeah, I mean, they're not. They're
and, they're,
not
and they're printed very nicely. They're chunky editions.
They're beautiful.
Yeah. I've got that so wrong. I've genuinely thought it was an American sensation. It wasn't written
worldwide.
Worldwide.
Oh,
yeah.
Worldwide.
Yeah.
I really only came across it in the movies, but then it goes to show that's not the. I don't read books, as you can probably tell. But what was like Tom Cruise's performance compared to the books?
Was it completely
non-analogous?
Really?
Non-analogous.
Because like in terms of like his physicality, he's completely different, isn't it?
Completely different. And so the author Lee Child's his quote on this is that Reacher's physical shape is a metaphor for unstoppable force.
Okay.
And he thinks that Tom Cruise is able to manifest the sort of force of personality that is necessary to play Reacher. Now,
sure.
Lee Child is obviously speaking as a man who licensed the books to Tom Cruise for many millions of dollars.
Presumably. We don't know.
I don't know. I guess maybe he did it as a charitable thing. Yeah,
so you think in no way he believes that?
Oh, I don't know if he doesn't believe it.
He does not.
Yeah,
believe it.
I guess
that's crazy.
Yeah, I do think it's crazy.
You know, there was a split, and I don't think it was more than a split second of pause.
Yeah,
because they gave him the number.
Yeah, like, no way.
But
no
you
way.
Know
Look
he
at
was
this.
Like,
okay, sure.
You know he was just like, what?
Yeah.
Why? Why am I in this position?
Yeah.
Like Kate Blanchett as Bob Dylan is a more obvious casting choice.
That's true, actually.
and works better, actually.
That is literally true.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So, great five. Mm-hmm. Worthy winner.
Well, truly,
you know,
top
we've got
20, five.
22 novels to get stuck into as well.
But we need some honorable mentions.
Oh, yeah.
So, are we going to have some honorable mentions that were groups?
Yeah. Well, okay,
a few teams.
Yeah, so we had, I think this is someone that we ranked at around 8. This is a Team America.
Team America Center. Team America's in there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They use such unorthodox methodology.
Now, listen. No one would argue that they're the smartest crime fighters. Like they're often wrong, but they're, you know, sometimes fickle commitment is impressive.
But they're an essential combination of talents.
That's right. That's accurate.
A truly elite squad.
Truly elite. Gary truly is prepared elite. To do anything to get the job done.
He did so many pretty awful things in the name of justice.
To regain people's confidence in him.
Yeah. Like any actor. Yeah.
Let me tell you about Gary.
Another crime-fighting squad that we had to overlook was the Rainbow Six folks.
The Tom Clancy.
From the Tom Clancy gang. Books, movies, and video games. Now, these folks are a crack squad.
They're no joke.
They're incredible.
Yeah, they're no joke. They lose by being, you know,
you can't
utterly anonymous.
You can't name anybody.
Utterly anonymous. And I don't respect that.
Yeah.
Although, I want a crime fighter.
If you think about
who's so committed to things that they want their name stamped on every victory. That's how good that victory was.
Yeah. It's hard not to respect the personality that's so forceful that it ends up in front of the spotlight. The Rainbow Six guys maybe a little too professional. They're just kind of doing their job, even if their job is, you know, as incredibly elite special forces.
You sort of suspect that you're not going to like them at home.
I'd have a beer with them.
They sit around at their like house in Fort Myers, Florida, with like a gun on the bedside table watching football.
Just one gun?
That's the one on the bedside table.
Yeah. That's the one you get.
Multiple guns on the bedside table.
That one's
table.
Not loaded.
Come on.
That's a trick.
No, they have lots of guns. There's only one on the bedside table while they watch football.
Right. Okay, I was just checking. Yeah.
Yes, just one.
Yeah. Who else did we have to sideline due to considerations?
We wanted to talk about whatever Angelina Jolie's character was in Taking Lives.
Who
gets down into graves.
The empath.
And just tries to read things by getting down on the dirt. But we couldn't remember her name or any of her achievements, so she lost.
Well,
we like her methodology.
Yeah, but here's the thing. You could look on the internet, but then as soon as you're doing that, is this one of the great fictional crime fighters?
Exactly.
If you're having to look it up.
The answer is no. The answer is no. Alex Cross, screw him.
Yeah, exactly. But as far as memory serves, she was actually putting herself up for some major emotional punishment. Like she would go down there and she would embody the victim and go through the death in these very sick ritualistic killings in order to provide a scrap of clue meat to the detective. Who is it?
That's a forensic term. Clue meat.
Clue meat.
Clue meat. Yeah. I mean, that's, you know, some of these other folks in the top five don't necessarily. Gary does that. Gary Team America does that.
Really does that. Yeah.
But he's brought down, you know, by.
He's also flawed.
If Team America was just Gary, that would have been a solo effort.
Absolutely.
But, you know.
Absolutely.
Yeah, the other folks seem to basically be a destructive force until Gary signs on.
Yeah, until Gary shows up.
No, come on. They stop. They stop.
Fictional crime fighters.
I mean, now, honestly.
Sherlock Holmes? That's a
wrong.
Sherlock Holmes?
Wrong.
What's up with Sherlock?
Oh, please.
He's a good
one. He's set up every criminal in the book. I think if you read into it, he's always planted evidence.
Yeah. He is a classic evidence planter.
Jason makes it.
He's a classic.
Sherlock Holmes.
Sherlock Holmes. Sherlock Holmes, you know, blows a line and then plants a little evidence. Classic.
Yep.
How about you, mate? Oh, you got any money, but he's burning a hole?
If I didn't go for Officer Mahoney, I would go for the cast of Police Academy 2.
Ooh.
When they cast
of Police Academy.
Well, the false.
There's some weak links in there. What about, even in episode 3 when the citizens were on patrol?
Citizens on patrol.
I mean, come on. Surely that's the just, team yeah, was. No, it's before. There were some police cannons.
It got spread thin. It got spread very thin.
I mean, look, Tackleberry is an unimpeachable presence.
Yes.
He's your kind of
I don't know about Jones. I feel like Jones, Jones never really helped, though, did he?
He's often in it for the laughs.
He distracted.
Yeah.
You need more levity, often than you need levity distracted. When you're fighting crime.
That's true. He's kind of like keeping the team spirit up. Right. Yeah,
he knew kung fu. He knew kung fu, didn't he?
Did he?
He put his headband on and then done the dubbed out talking.
You want to fight?
Yeah, exactly.
Incredible team.
Good shout.
No, he's a great entertainer. Nobody's saying Jones isn't a great entertainer. Does he get the job done? Does Commandant Lassard give him any credit? I don't think you ever see Jones get a medal from Commandant Lassard.
No.
True.
You wouldn't.
Fair point.
No, he's not piecing things together like Clarice either, is he? Although I would love to see that as a spin-off series, Clarice and Jones.
They could get some work done. Clarice would discipline him, I think.
God, it would be incredible if they rebooted the Police Academy series with a serial killer on the
loose. Which just got his proper dark.
Yeah.
All right, well, look, before we finish, Geezer over here, you're touring, right?
We're doing touring for the next couple of weeks, yeah. And kind of with repetitive vigor for the next 6 months.
Yeah. We're making like Jack Reacher.
We're
listlessly moving about.
Yeah.
Another in store tomorrow?
Yes.
Yeah, that's Banquet, right. Kingston. Yeah. Yep. Yeah,
wicked.
Yep.
Wicked.
Nice venue.
And then, was it 10 dates in the UK?
That sounds right.
Yeah. Give or take. Right.
Yeah.
Give or take.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. New album's out, right?
Absolutely.
Wicked.
Came out Friday.
And it's out on cassette, right?
Yeah, there's cassettes.
Have you gotten yours yet?
I haven't, no.
They're
You'd
very
better
nice.
Hurry.
Okay.
They're red plastic.
I know. Yeah. How comes that come about? Why the cassette thing?
It's like a new craze.
Yeah, in today's climate, you've got to come out with...
There you go.
Oh, you just produced your own cassette. Yeah, you did have it.
Is it going to be handily within reach of your Walkman?
Why did you choose to do this?
Well, it's a new market. It's a burgeoning kind of young
developing
folks
market.
Yeah, and so they're also pretty cheap to print. You know, you can do them in lots of like 10.
Yeah,
you don't have to commit to thousands.
There's certainly no risk.
It's very low risk.
In pressing cassettes.
It's very low risk. We've all still got Walkmans, you know, from our childhoods, nice. And so why not? Why not? We say.
I miss the Walkman.
One nice thing about pressing cassettes is that, any cassette only lasts about 10 listens. So we've got plenty, and once we wear ours out, we've got plenty more.
It's finite.
Yeah.
That's in your video, isn't it? It's in one of your most recent videos for this album.
Yeah, the video for Your Light Has Changed features a futuristic version of the cassette that is actually able to produce video, like, you plug the Walkman into your laptop and you can get video out of it.
That's where we hope this.
That's
trend
a product
is going.
We're working on. Yeah. That's something we're working on.
It's your next endeavor.
Yeah. Yeah. We're a long way.
From that.
Yeah.
Yeah, we've made a lot of big mistakes.
I'd love that. I just want to get my cassette. When I saw that, I was like, man, that was probably my favorite audio replaying device. Other than the mini disc that didn't get a fair run.
Oh, come on.
It got a fair run.
It got better than DAT. DAT was the thing that was going to be here. I remember my brother buying a DAT player, and he was like, oh, mate. Yeah, it lasted about 6 months.
Yeah, boy.
Destroyed.
I actually still have a mini disc slot in the hi-fi that's sitting under my TV. But obviously, I don't have any... new mini discs I'm throwing in there. But I do have a couple
until our next album comes out.
We're going to put our next one on mini disc. I wonder if that's
only
possible.
Really?
Only
that's so
possible.
Cool.
That'd be incredible. Yeah. We could say we've made 10. So, you know, the bidding begins.
Yeah,
now.
We'll sell them at auction.
Yeah. Exactly.
So Wu-Tang did it just one tune, didn't they?
That's right.
And then you're going to do it on 10 mini discs.
What's happening with that, by the way? With Martin Shkreli's, because he's going to prison now, the guy who bought the Wu-Tang album for $1 million. Or whatever.
But I think that album is one of the things that's been wrenched from his possession.
Right, yeah.
Really?
So what's going to happen to it?
I don't know.
Will the courts sell it?
Mayor de Blasio gets it.
The mayor of New York owns it now.
He's going to taunt Cuomo.
Wow. His power has increased by 2%.
He owns a Wu-Tang album that no one's heard.
Yeah. Well, guys, thank you very much for coming on.
Really appreciate it.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
Can we, like, at mention you and get people's top fives?
We'd rather you not.
We're interested in ours, but anyone else's, we don't want to hear
please.
It. Yeah, because I'm sure the listeners are going to be like, no, you fucked this up.
Yeah,
that'd or be they'll great. Be like, yeah,
I mean,
definitely.
There are plenty. There are plenty.
Yeah, yeah.
There are a lot of fictional crime fighters, but we... You know, we researched this pretty hard. I think our top five is adamantine. I mean, I would like to hear the challenges. Yeah, I'd love to.
Yeah. Here's the thing. Anyone with superpowers is that's ridiculous.
That's silly.
So
because immediately they're not venturing nearly as much.
Yeah.
I mean, if you had superpowers, you would have a pretty ironclad duty to see justice served, right? Because of your power over everybody else. So. Can we just start?
Yeah. So if you're going to come in with someone with superpowers, just shut up, asshole.
Shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
Okay, shut the fuck up. Email somebody else.
All right. Well, the kitchen's just let us know that the hedgehog's baked. So we'll,
the eagles. Those poor eagles. Mm.
I can't wait.
Cheers, dudes.
Thanks.
Thank you
very much.
Thanks, guys.
Those poor eagles. Listen, I need to clear something up. It wasn't actually Brad that was burnt alive over there in Nutbury Field. It was actually just somebody cooking some chicken, which is weird. I don't know why they did that. Hope you enjoyed the episode. It turns out they're not actually scientists. So apologies for anybody that dialed in today wanting to listen to some science chat. But it turns out the reason... they're called We Are Scientists is because they got pulled over once and somebody asked if they were scientists. Probably the worst story I've ever read. However, what a great couple of chaps. Great, great, great chaps. Genuinely enjoyed listening to that and editing it. Wasn't so fussed about Chris's bits or Stu's bits. But it'll take far too long for me to edit Stu and Chris out and just have the guests speaking, but then some of the stuff the guests say would be all out of context and it would just be confusing. So that is the reason why you've got Chris and Stu speaking on these podcasts as well as the guests. Not really sure what I'm talking about now. I'm trying to have a Facebook conversation with somebody and that's far more interesting. Anyway, tune in next week and peanuts and coffee out now over on my Bandcamp site. Enjoy.
It's a drunken soiree in the within.
Chris and Stu present Our Core Listing, the podcast.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Kayla Tsinis.
Kayla Tsinis. I'm Kayla Tsinis, and I have been training a global community of women since 2009. I've created a brand new podcast, Sweat Daily, to help you level up your life and reach your health and well-being goals. From fitness tips to food that fuels you, meditation to motivation, we've got you covered. Sweat Daily, the happiest, healthiest, and most confident version of you awaits. Available on Apple Podcasts and wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.